Welcome to Cornerstone Church's online sermons. This is Pastor Barry. I hope that today you are blessed by this Thanksgiving message, for we've all got lots to be thankful for. God bless you as you listen and as the Lord speaks to you today.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. It's so nice to have you here. Welcome to those of you joining us online. Happy Thanksgiving. I've got just one announcement for us this morning before we look at God's Word together. And so if you have your device and you have the YouVersion app, I'd be glad for you to follow along with the verses where we're headed this morning. I'll point out a couple portions of Scripture, but we'll go through them from verse to verse to verse, so it might be a little quick to try and follow along. So if you have the app, you're welcome to join me on that. The announcement is this, just a reminder that next Sunday we are not meeting here in person at Heritage Christian Academy, but we are joining with Grace and Glory Foursquare Church on Bannister Road, way down South Calgary, and it's just going to be a privilege to celebrate with them their one-year anniversary. And so they'll be leading us in worship. They've asked me to speak, so I'm going to bring a message next week. But it's going to be a tremendous time of being together with our family. It was so lovely to have Grace and Glory here a couple weeks ago when we did the missions conference, and they joined us in the morning. And so we're looking forward to being with them. That's next Sunday. We'll be together at Grace and Glory Foursquare Church. It will be on our website this week if you don't know where it's located. Essentially, it's McLeod Trail and Midlake Boulevard, just around the Midlake Turn. There's Bannister Road. It's at St. Mary's University, but there'll be a map on our website if you're looking to join us. If you don't know where that is, what a tremendous time that's going to be. Well, happy Thanksgiving, and we have so much to be thankful for. Here's three verses that talk about thankfulness. One is in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says this: "And let the peace of God rule in your heart." That's something we can all be thankful for, God's peace. "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called into one body." This relationship that we have in community, and not just community, in family, that we're together in one body. And it says this: "And be thankful." In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, when it says "in everything give thanks," you would well know we're not thankful for everything. There are a lot of bad things that happen, a lot of horrible tragedies that take place, lots of sorrows. We're not thankful for those things, but in the midst of those things, we can discover reasons to be thankful. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will. People look often, "I just want to find God's will." Well, here it is. Be thankful. Be thankful. Then the last verse that I'll just mention this morning, Philippians 4:6. Last week we talked about the whole first chapter of Philippians. In a couple of weeks we're going to go through the second chapter. But Philippians says this: "Be anxious for nothing." It's talking about prayer. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It's this place in everything give thanks, and in the midst of our prayers, our petitions, our supplications, where we're crying out to God, in the midst of all that, we are a thankful people. And that's such a place of trust. It's such an awareness of the trust that we have in our Heavenly Father. We love Him, and so much more, He loves us. And we can be thankful because He is sovereign, He reigns, and He rules. No matter what we're facing, God is in control. And sometimes when it feels like the end, we can simply acknowledge it's not the end because God is in control. But these commands, they do not just produce thankfulness. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of someone saying to you, "You need to be thankful." That doesn't necessarily produce the thankfulness in our hearts. Even in Colossians, if we lean into the old King James where it says, "And be ye thankful." And it's this stronger, "be thankful." Well, just because it's a command, it doesn't automatically mean that just because they're instructive, it doesn't automatically mean that there's transformation that takes place. So I briefly want to talk about this morning here on Thanksgiving weekend, on Thanksgiving Sunday, maybe some tips to help you, to help us, to be thankful. But I certainly want to share something about thankfulness, really, that has to do with generosity. one thing to be thankful for. Even this weekend, if we could find one thing to be thankful for. There used to be a hymn. Some of you might remember it. Somebody might know it well. It was Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, and then the next line was name them one by one. And it's this kind of peppy little song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you see what God has done. However, listen to the verses, the context of count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, because the song, whoever penned the song was writing about us when we were in a difficult spot. The first verse is, when you're discouraged and you think you've lost everything, count your blessings, name them one by one. The second verse is, when you're burdened with worries and care and the cross is too heavy to bear, count your blessings. When you look at what others have, this is the third verse, when you look at what others have, specifically the gold that they have, and you do not, count your blessings. Fourth verse, when you have so much conflict and strife in your life, count your blessings. It's this amazing instruction to us of when things are hard, when you think you've lost everything, when you're in so much conflict and strife, when you're burdened and weighed down, when you're discouraged, the hymn instructs us to count our blessings. And I think that's really, really good to do. Some of you may have done this. Audrey did this for a while, was keep a thankfulness journal. And so each day would write down one thing you're thankful for, one thing, and the next day another thing you're thankful for. Well, after a month, you can look back on that journal. There are 30 things where you're just acknowledging, I have things to be thankful for. Irving Berlin wrote a song for the movie White Christmas. That song ended up being sung by Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby. And the song was called Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep. And Irving Berlin wrote this. He said, as I say in the lyrics some time ago, after the worst kind of sleepless night, have you ever had some of those? After the worst kind of sleepless night, my doctor came in to see me, and after a lot of self-pity, belly aching, and complaining about my insomnia, he looked at me and said, speaking of doing something about your insomnia, did you ever try counting your blessings? And that's where that song came from when Bing and Rosemary said, when I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. If you're worried and cannot sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. And it's certainly not just a Christmas song or a song in that show. He was living it out. How would you like to have a doctor who actually makes house calls again and says, here's your problem. You need to get out of your self-pity and belly aching and complaining. At least that was to Irving Berlin. Have you tried counting your blessings? And I think two enemies of thankfulness are this: comparison and competition. Comparison. Look what they have. Competition. Look at what I have. It's not a contest. It's not living our lives somehow trying to keep up with Shauna and Sandra. For those of you who don't know, their last name is Jones. It's keeping up with the Joneses. But instead of, you've never heard that before, right? Yeah. Instead of comparing or competing, we simply need to be content. With a lot or a little, that we would be content. Because our contentment, it's got to be just simply rooted in things that are out of this world. Our contentment is in Christ. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve had just been content with God's generosity? If they had just been content by saying it's enough, when God opened his arms to them and said, here, you can have it all. You can have it all of every tree, of every fruit, this beautiful garden. You can have it all, just not that one. If they had been content with having it all, except that one, things would be so different. Philippians 4 says this, verse 11, it says, Paul writing to the church in Philippi, he's writing from prison. We'll look at this in a number of weeks. But Philippians 4 says this, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard of need. He's in mid-sentence, in mid-conversation. He says, by the way, it's not because I'm in need. For I've learned that whatever state I am, to be content. And he says this, I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everything and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer in need. I've learned to be okay with lots and be okay with little. And then it's this phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And isn't it interesting? It's in that context where he says that verse. We use that verse, and I think rightly so and aptly so, about I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and the strength we receive from Jesus. With the power to go on, the power to have courage, the power to face opposition. On, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and that's marvelous application. But the context was this. I can do all things, including be content and be thankful, not based on my circumstance. I can do all things. Sometimes, I don't know for you, but for me, sometimes it's hard to remember to be thankful. And I wonder if that's one of the reasons why King David, when he brought back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, that he appointed not only sacrifices, but he appointed those in the morning and the evening who would give thanks. That's their job. Let's just find some people who in the morning and the night, they are going to come and they are going to give thanks to God, that we need to be reminded and continually be a people who will give thanks to God. That was their job. And I was thinking this week, I wondered if I were to write a proverb. If you have YouVersion, it's written down there for you, and it does say copyright Barry Marston. If I were to write a proverb, it would be this. Unthankful people are unthankful, but thankful people are thankful. Now, you may need to just sit on that a little bit because that's so deep and transformational. Listen, unthankful people are unthankful, and thankful people are thankful. Here's what I mean by this. Unthankful people can be thankful for a moment, but it doesn't last. And thankful people can be unthankful for a moment, but it doesn't last. Unthankful people can be thankful, but it quickly shifts because it's a matter of the heart and can shift to entitlement and then and expectancy and even dependence. But thankful people just quickly return to being thankful. It's really hard for an unthankful person to remain thankful, and it's really hard for a thankful person to remain unthankful because they're both attitudes of the heart. You can't make someone thankful, no matter what you do. What you do does not bring transformation in someone's life to make them thankful. It's a condition of their heart. We need God to change our hearts. Even the most extravagant thing that you could do for someone, if they are truly, they live in a place of unthankfulness, they will be thankful for the moment, but that will pass. And it turns into, what have you done for me lately? And I know this to be true because I see it not only in human relationships, but don't we sometimes see that in our relationship with God? What have you done for me lately? That we forget, and I think that's why Scripture so many times has us remembering what God has done, because our heart can grow cold when we're in a circumstance or a situation that can be very sorrowful and so much struggle and hurt and confusing, and we say, God, what have you done for me lately? But sometimes even the simplest things that you do for a thankful person, it can touch their heart and touch their life, their day, their week, and maybe even their year. And so I guess what I'd like to encourage you in this Thanksgiving Sunday, it's not so much on being thankful, although that is a worthy goal, to be a person who is thankful. But I wonder if this Thanksgiving Sunday, this Thanksgiving weekend, you might you might give someone else a reason to be thankful. This Thanksgiving, it doesn't have to be in a big way. It can be in a million different ways. Just simply to bless someone else and give them a reason to be thankful. Maybe it's being generous with our time. I have time for you. Maybe it's being generous with our talents. Here, let me help you. Maybe it's being generous with our treasure. Here, let me meet that need for you. Let me treat you. I have a couple powerful stories of generosity that were so impacting to me. Canada's most precious resource, I do not believe, is our wheat or our lumber, our fisheries, our oceans, our oil. There is something that has to last because it's so extremely valuable, and I can't even begin to explain the mystery of it. But this is what I think it very well may be. It may be the little disposable ketchup packages. Because have you ever tried to get an extra one? Have you ever asked for, can I get more ketchup? I don't know what kind of training fast food industry does with their employees about the little ketchup package. But it would seem to me it may be one of our most valuable and precious resources, because trying to get extra quite often is a very difficult task. And I feel so ashamed when I ask for extra. They must be trained, give them one ketchup and one ketchup only. And when I ask, can I get two, they look at me like, are you some kind of a sicko? Do you want to single-handedly cause the ketchup packet famine of 2022? And they look at me like, ketchup doesn't grow on trees. Well, fair enough. And there are other restaurants, well, some of those restaurants, who flaunt their ketchup supply by putting big vats of ketchup out in the lobby area where you can help yourself. But they still taunt you because they give you thimbles to put it in. And woe be to you if you take three thimbles. And sometimes, I don't know if you've had this experience, I certainly have, I have gone and the vat is dry. You pump and nothing comes out. And so then I go to the counter and I say, you're out of ketchup. And they look at me like, see, this is what we're talking about. This is exactly what we're trying to tell you. Well, I had an experience some time ago, just at one intersection away, McKnight Boulevard and 12th Street, the McDonald's across the street from where our church building was. And I was in the drive-thru, and I ordered fries. I don't remember if they were small, probably not. I just ordered one order of fries. And as I got to the window, she gave me the bag, I gave the money. I looked in, and I said, very carefully, I've been this route before. I said, may I have one ketchup packet, please? And she looked at me, and with the most beautiful accent, she said, why not two? And I almost said, why not? but I said, why not? Indeed. And she gave me two ketchup packages. As I exited the drive-thru, I had a song in my heart, I had a spring in my step, and I had two ketchup packages. Why not two? It was absolutely amazing to me that she had such power to bless me with such a little thing. And so around my house, you will often hear us say, why not two? And we know that moment of when you have the, would you like one? Yeah, it's, why not two? It's the power to bless someone with something so little. Now, there's a theme in this next story. You'll probably connect it. They both have to do with food. and the blessing. Our family was in Disneyland years ago, and I went down Main Street. There's a bakery called the Main Street Bakery, and I went in and ordered a cinnamon bun. Now, you need to know about cinnamon buns. I remember being at a restaurant in Airdrie with a good friend of mine, and we were both having cinnamon buns, and I said to the waitress, could you put extra frosting on it, extra icing? She said yes, and I said, just so you know, when you put the icing on it, and you put it on, and you put more on, and you put more on, and you think, there is more icing on this than anyone should ever have. This is a ludicrous amount. I said, you are just getting started. And so, Main Street Bakery, I ordered a cinnamon bun with extra frosting, extra icing, and I watched the girl take it out and put icing on it. And then she put it down on the counter, and she turned around and grabbed a coffee cup. And I said, oh, no, I didn't order any coffee. And she said, no, this is for the extra frosting. And she went to the dispenser and began to pour an entire coffee cup of frosting, smiled, and gave it to me and said, here you go. And I thought, the sign at Disneyland is true. This is the happiest place on earth. They had the power in the little things to bless me. Frosting and ketchup. And I guess I just wanted to say to you this morning and encourage us, would you this Thanksgiving just give people a reason to be thankful? Just give people, sometimes we think it's got to be the big things, it's got to be the magnanimous things, it's got to be that kind of stuff. I wonder if it could just be a word, just a kind word, not spoken in flattery, but spoken in sincerity and kindness to bless someone. I wonder if it could be an offer to help. I wonder if it could be a phone call or a text or a note, just to say, hey, I'm thinking of you today, or I'm thankful for you today. Or somehow people sometimes just need to know that they're thought of. Maybe there's a need that you can meet in someone's life. If you can see it, perhaps you can meet it and simply be a blessing. Doesn't have to be the big, just sometimes it's just the small things that make such a difference. I remember watching a program, some sessions through a counseling program called Grief Share. And one of the ladies who was talking about the sorrow and loss that she had faced, and then another girl talked about the sorrow and loss that she had faced and loved ones. They talked about it wasn't the big things. It wasn't the trip to the Bahamas, or it wasn't just the big stuff. It was, I missed my dad reading the paper because he always got so mad at it. Or I missed the texts my mom would send because she always misspelled things, and it was really funny, the things that would come out. It was these little things that were consistent. And I wonder if we could be consistent in little things and little ways to bless people. That this Thanksgiving, our focus would be, I am going to give you a reason to be thankful. Now, that doesn't mean it changes everybody's hearts, but it might just be another nudge towards helping us, all of us, remember to be thankful people. One of the things that I really like, I was going to say, one of the things I really like about God, one of the things I'm so grateful for about God, Scripture tells us that he is kind to the unthankful. So we're not doing these things, we're not giving, we're not blessing, we're not serving, we're not caring, that someone would say thank you to us. It's not about receiving thanks. It's simply about giving people a reason to be thankful. God is kind to the unthankful. But always let him change unthankful heart in me. That's where I start. This Thanksgiving Sunday, it's like, God, where have I been unthankful? Would you remind me? Would you expose that? Would you remove that? Because I want to be a consistently thankful person that blesses others in all kinds of ways. So I will simply leave you with this. Would you find a way today? Would you find a way today to give a reason for someone to be thankful this Thanksgiving? Find a way to bless someone, to give them a reason to be thankful. And maybe not just one reason. Why not two? Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you this Thanksgiving Sunday. We are so very, very grateful for your love and your goodness and your kindness, and that you are kind to the unthankful. And Lord, I look at my life, and so many times I have been so focused and distracted that I have missed the opportunity to just stop and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for all your blessings. And in this moment, just that song about counting our blessings, name them one by one. God, I just want to pause. Church, can I encourage you to pause here in this moment with me and just begin to thank the Lord and name blessings. Name things that he has poured out in your life, people, just reasons to be thankful. And would you just begin to thank the Lord? And just very specific. Maybe it's a point of health. Maybe it's a point of healing. Maybe it's provision. Maybe it's strength. Maybe it's endurance. Maybe it's friends or family. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's the God things, his love, his grace. But just let your heart be thankful. And it's not thanksgiving, it's thanksgiving. And so we give thanks. Lord, we give thanks to you. And Lord, we pray that as we would be thankful people, we don't want to be unthankful. We want to live our lives in a posture of giving thanks and being thankful and being grateful, not being entitled, not being just so expectant. God, you've done so much for us already. You've provided so much. God, help us not be looking for the next thing. May we pause and just be so grateful for what you've already done, for who you are, for your blessings upon our lives. God, of course we've got lots of needs, but we it's with thanksgiving that we bring our needs to you, because we're just so grateful. We are a grateful people for all you are and all you've done, and we bless you, God. And this Thanksgiving Sunday, we pray that you would help us to be channels of blessing. You would help us to bless others. You'd help us to give others a reason or two to be thankful. And that in doing so, their heart might be lighter. There might be a song in their heart, a spring in their step, as they too would look to you and offer thanks this Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this Thanksgiving Sunday. We pray that you are blessed by today's message and that God has encouraged your heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.